that, see if it's working. That's working. And I want to thank you for being here today. We are one Messiah congregation, and we're going to blow the trumpet. Shabbat Shalom. I think the trumpet is getting better. Well, we're just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael, and we are Kahal Chai B'Mashiach, for everyone that doesn't know, but I guess you guys all know, and it is the Sabbath. Let's pray and ask God to bless this study. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Shabbat. We thank you, Lord and God, we could be here. We thank you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. We thank you, Lord and God, for eternal life. We thank you one day we're going to be with you. And that is going to be the most amazing thing. Bless and anoint this day, this Sabbath. Send down health and just faith, wisdom, knowledge, understanding upon every one of us. Increase our fear. We just thank you, Lord and God, that we could even know about your Sabbath and your holy days and your feast coming. Bless and anoint this reading today. Let us learn something new that we didn't know. I thank God for all the brothers and sisters that are faithful. Pray you'll touch them and help them in every endeavor in their life, whatever it may be, spiritual, physical, finances, whatever. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll move upon everyone's life in Yeshua's name. Bless this day, and we give you the glory, Father. And let it be to everything be said today to the edifying of the body of the Messiah and to the glory of the living God. We look to the kingdom of heaven for everything. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are still in September, and it's September 7th. You know, it's weird about September. It actually means the seventh month, but it's really our ninth month. That's really cuckoo, isn't it? It used to be the seventh month. Anyway, let's move on. This is the last day of Elul, according to the way we see it. It's the 30th day of Elul. And there's the last verses before they're gone for the year. Okay? We've read this many times. This is not going to be a long study. It's sort of a potent study. I was getting ready for some guests and some other people that need to converse with people. But my guests didn't show up. I want my guests. I guess I don't know. People call me. We have great conversations. They tell me they're coming. Anyway, for your convenience, everything is put on the net. We have the text forms. We have the audio forms. We have the video forms. You could download them to your MP3 players, iPods, iPads, whatever else there is. I can't remember it all. We're on Pow Talk right now, live streaming. Just like they can see me right now, like TV. We're on Facebook. I've been informed our little Facebook page is starting to bloom, so I might have to participate in that. Of course, I'd always love to come in person if anyone has, if you ever desire me to come, I'd be glad to. In person, to talk about the Hebrew roots of your faith from the scriptures, not from Judaism. Of course, here's the recap of the holy days and the feast that's coming. I'm sure the way we're doing it is we wait for Israel to see the new moon. We don't wait for Texas to see it or Nebraska, or because we're thinking we're part of the Israel of God. So if we were in Israel with David, we wait for the new moon. You've got to remember, their hour is different than us, right? So here's all the dates. You guys pretty sure got them, right? Yeah. You guys all know tonight at sundown starts a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And I noticed in the scriptures, it doesn't say the memorial. It says a memorial of blowing trumpets. Just like it doesn't say the Day of Atonement. It says a Day of Atonement. And I don't know why it sort of caught me. But anyway, Leviticus 23:23, it says, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of the month shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. not supposed to do any work. That's civil work. Servile work. And of course, we bring an offering. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. We bring just an offering, of course. And that starts this evening. So we have, it's interesting, you know, I mean, we talked about it for many, many months, and I'm sure by now there's still lots of people doing it wrong. Hate to say it like that. Here's the Hebrew, and there it is right there. Bechodesh Hashivi'i Bechodesh Lachodesh. It says it's the seventh month, and it's a Zichron Teruah right there. See that? It's a memorial. And it says, Kal Malechet Avodah Lo Tasu. That means you're not supposed to do any work at all. It's a Shabbat. It's a Shabbaton. You see that? Shabbaton. And that's a little Hebrew there. So tonight we'll be in the seventh month of God called Ha'etanim, which most people have never even heard of before. Even the person I was talking to the other day that was supposed to be my guest, they didn't know. They never heard of it either. They're Jewish. And there it is, 1 Kings 8:2. Right? Yeah. And there it is right there. It says, Be-yareach, it says, Ha'etanim, Behag hu, Lechodesh Hashivi'i. So it's the Ha'etanim, which most people don't know. Isn't that sad? I've yet to find a lot of people that know that. Here's the little breakdown of Ha'etanim for everyone, in case you forgot. The word Ha'etanim has very interesting letters to it. It has the Aleph and the Tav right there. It has Ha, the definite article, and the Aleph and the Tav and the Neem, right? Ha is the. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the Neem comes from Etan, which we're going to see, which is perpetual, you know. There it is, the Aleph and the Tav, right? And it means the enduring, the permanent brooks. And it means the first and the last forever. So it's an interesting word, you know. The more I look at it, it has so many different things to it. There's the word Ha'etanim, of course, corresponds to our September and October. And it has permanent brook streams. And remember I did the study, I think it was last week, talked about all the flowing streams and the way God is. He's the living waters and all that. Do you remember that? And here's the word etan, which means permanent, enduring. And that's the word, the neem on the end of it. You see that? This little part right here? Yeah. This is the singular of that. Anyway, it looks to me, of course, like someone is trying to hide who is the living waters and the first and the last, which is the Messiah. And by calling it, we call it September. The other people call it Tishrei. And who knows whatever else people call it. But it's Ha'etanim. And I think Satan is having a ball with that. Because someone's trying to hide God as the living waters. He's the everlasting God. He's the first and the last. The ever-flowing brooks. Messiah says right here that he is the living waters, right? They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, right? We read this last week. I just wanted to emphasize that again. Right here he says again, they have forsaken Jehovah, the fountain of living waters, right? And we know Messiah, just like it says in the Tanakh, he's the first and the last. It says it also in the book of Revelation. It says he's the Alpha and the Omega, which is the Aleph and the Tav, which is the first and the last, which actually is the beginning and the end. The first is the Aleph, the Tav is the end, right? And that's the beginning and end of, this is the Greek alphabet, the other one was the Hebrew alphabet. Everybody knows that, right? Aleph and Tav, and this one right here. What is it? Omega? Alpha and Omega, right? Right? You want me to read all these verses? I can read all the verses. I'll be glad to. I just read these last week. That's why I wasn't reading them. It says, Revelation 21:5, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new, not renewed. And he said unto me, Write, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It's done. I am Alpha and the Omega, which is the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the water of fountain of the water of life freely. Really, you don't have to pay for anything. Freely, yes. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son and daughter, of course. See that I didn't read these. Want me to read these too? I'll read them for you. Messiah is the living waters. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jehovah, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Jehovah, the fountain of living waters. You know, I was going through Ezekiel this morning. I'm trying to get into Ezekiel a lot. Boy, Israel has, Israel is such a terrible thing. Some of the verses are so horrible. You know, Israel has, God says, the people from Israel didn't even want to keep the laws of the land of the heathen. And they never would even keep mine. They didn't want, Israel don't want to keep any, they just want to do flat, they just flat out want to do their own thing. It's horrible. It's terrible. Messiah is the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. In this short study, my intentions are to steer you away from false doctrine that you may encounter from the internet or any other means. Some people might find this study boring. I don't. However, I feel it's necessary because there are many false doctrines being subliminally injected into people's minds. I would hate for you to miss the sound of the trumpet one day, if you're around, which leads us to the day that we should be atoned, repented, and then, of course, tabernacle with God on the wrong day, right? Or you can't do God's holy days when you find it's not, you know, maybe it's inconvenient, so you want to, for your convenience, change the day or for any other opportunity. You have to do it when God's Moedim is set. When he says to do it. So today's topic is very simple. After saying all that, today's topic is, who are you following? Are you following Judaism? Are you following Messianics that follow Judaism? Are you following Messianics that follow Karaites? Are you following Protestant Gentile teachers that follow Messianics that follow Karaites or Judaism? I know, that's that, but I see this actually going on.
Yeah.
My question, why would anybody that's even a messianic, that, you know, why would you follow a Karaite or a Judaism? These people that reject your Hebrew Messiah, they hate him. Why would you even think they're scholars? I think they're false teachers myself, unscriptural. But some people call them scholars. I don't think they're scholars.
They're not.
They're not scholars, actually.
Not.
Here's what some of them say. Some of them have already did the new moon. Well, we don't do the new moon unless it's seen in Israel, not in Tennessee or Nebraska or Iowa or wherever in the United States. We wait for Israel to see it. It's that simple. Okay? Some people call this the new year, Rosh Hashanah. That's wrong. How could that be? Some call this Adam's birthday. That's ridiculous. How would you ever know it was Adam's birthday? It's not in the Word. Some people call this the month when the earth was created. How would you know that? That's what I'm saying. And they say it so emphatically, like it sounds like a fact, you know, like, but it's not. It's ridiculous. It's not even a hypothesis. There's no way to even prove it. I mean, it's just made up. Some people call this month Tishrei. Well, you know, after the studies that we did, we know it comes from the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, and it's from the pagan New Year of the pagans. Why would you want to call God's month Tishrei when I already told you the name of it, right? on Jewish websites, they have a Jewish year. Where does it say there's Jewish years? No. And they think that this year is 5774. That's wrong. I mean, this is all the stuff that people right now are saying with strength on the internet, that it's fact. And it's all false. Judaism says on the Day of Atonement, you can fast and that is sufficient to take away your sins. Where does it say that in the Torah? Now, these might seem like no big deal to you, but they're called lies. And that's called sin, right? This is what Judaism has as their times for their new year, okay? They did it on 9-4. They actually did it for 2 days because they weren't sure. And guess what? Both days were wrong. I mean, Judaism's got and these people are supposed to be brilliant. That's why I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with intelligence. This is a spiritual connotation to this. This is spiritual. It's not intellect, okay? And the main thing is, I see that it's all sin, because if you're telling people any of this information, you are a liar. Really. And that's the drastic part. See, I bring everything down to the bottom line. Some people might say, well, who cares if it's Tishrei or Shmishrei or, you know, it does matter, because God says it's Ha'etanim. And I just explained to you the significance of that word. Yeah, it's big time. That's been erased. It's been deleted because they got September and they got Tishrei. It's a lie. Here's the scriptural truth. The new moon starts tonight. That's when Israel's seen it. The new moon starts the seventh month, not New Year's. It's the seventh month. Does everybody hear that? It's the seventh month. How could that be New Year's? God's New Year's, we all know God's New Year's in the spring, right? In Exodus chapter 12, right? It says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year to you. Exodus 12:2. Is that, how simple can that be? But I mean, do we have to go to Harvard to figure this out, or, you know, Yale, or? Yeah, really. No, but I'm just saying, how could you say the seventh month is New Year? Right now, it's all over the internet. Happy New Year, and they're celebrating, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's how, it's all a lie. The seventh month, again, is called Ha'etanim. And, of course, I already said tonight starts a memorial of blowing trumpets. It's not New Year, and it's not Adam's birthday, and it's not the creation of the world, and it's not whatever somebody else made up. I'm sure they made up some other things too, right? We follow Scripture. Leviticus, again, says right here, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing the trumpets. Where does it say New Year right there? It's a holy convocation. Not us do any work. Bring an offering. I don't see anything about New Year there, or Adam's birthday, do you? Is there any small print I can't see? I don't have my glasses on.
No.
I know. You know, I'm saying this because I should say it with more emphasis. I've said it so often. After a while, you get like, you wonder if anyone really cares, you know? Yeah. Here's the vocabulary words that I've gone over and over with people. They still don't get it. There's the holy convocation, the Mikra Kodesh, okay? And the word holy means set apart to God. It's not just set apart. It's set apart to God. Separateness, sacredness, you know? And the word convocation, it's actually a rehearsal. It's an assembly, a public meeting. So you can't do any of God's holy days or feasts hiding in your house by yourself if you know there's a congregation doing this, right? Like today, I know there's people that, seems like there should be more people here than this, right? But they choose, they saw the moon in Iowa. Who cares?
Arizona.
Oklahoma. They saw that. Who cares? I mean, I want to. Was David in Oklahoma? Try to picture yourself in Israel when they see it, okay? Anyway, there's the servile work. Servile. And in Hebrew, I like it better. It's Melechet Avodah. There it is right there. Melechet Avodah. That means just getting down to the bottom line on this. No work at all. That's domestically or publicly. Okay? No work. Like today, we're not going to go dig a ditch, and we're not going to go home and scrub the floors. And we're not going to plant flowers today. Or, yeah, we're not going to do... Well, this. That's we already did that, right? Today is just God's day. And then everybody knows the dates I give you. They all start when? Evening before. So if I tell you that the memorial blowing the trumpets is on Sunday, when does it start? So you guys got it, but there's people on the net. You could say this all day long, and they still don't get it. So we have two Sabbaths in a row. To some people, they go, oh, man, that's a nightmare. How are we going to do that? To me, it's like, oh, it's great. I know. I feel feels fantastic. Now, then there's the Day of Atonement, which Judaism messed up. They messed that up in many unscriptural stories. The reason why I'm doing this, because I know you guys talk on the net a lot, and I thought there was going to be some Jewish people coming today. I was trying to go over these things in detail, you know. Judaism says you could fast, and that takes away your sins on the Day of Atonement. Now, if you read anything about Day of Atonement, you know, in Leviticus 23 or 16 or whatever other books it's in, it never mentions anything about fasting. I can't imagine like Moses, you know, they're killing the animals and they're shedding the blood and they're spilling the blood and the whole thing, and you go, excuse me, Moses, I want to fast today. I don't want to do the blood sacrifice stuff. What do you think he would do to you?
Stone.
Yeah, you'd be taken out and stoned to death. Now, I realize because Judaism hasn't had a sacrifice in many thousands of years, they haven't had any forgiveness. Matter of fact, they haven't had any Messiah. Actually, they have nothing, actually. And if they start doing it nowadays in 2013, you can't do sacrifices today because the Messiah has already come, and all the sacrifices in the Bible are pointing to the coming of the Messiah. He's the lamb without spot or blemish. So today, if you go kill animals and swing roosters around your head, that's ridiculous. And you might laugh, but they do that. Matter of fact, you know, the whole thing is, we laugh at it, but they're doing it in some... I was thinking about all the people that do things in sincerity, and it's false sincerity.
I did a lot of that.
Yeah, we've done some of those things in the past ourselves, right?
Yeah.
You've done some things with all your might and sincerity, and you've come to find out wasn't the best thing to do, right? Now, this stuff right here, I want you to listen close because this might shock you. I couldn't figure out how to phrase this word. It says, they're made up rabbis or unscriptural. Even the word rabbis is not in the Hebrew Bible. So everything about them is fraudulent. Here are some more Judaism distractions for you to avoid. Judaism observes days and months, times and years. They add and diminish from the word. Now, listen to this. I didn't make this up. This is actually what it says. This rabbi, Judah Hanasi, says, Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, atones whether one repents or one doesn't repent. Just the day is so powerful. Could you imagine that? Let's say you went out bowling today or on the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter. The day itself atones. That's in the Talmud, right there. They actually believe something like that. I mean, and you should hear some of the things that, you know, they say it with a dignified, like a suit on, like, you know, nice, well-dressed and a big beard, you know, and that solemn look, you know. Yom Kippur, the day is so holy. it atones. It is so powerful, even if you don't repent yourself. And who would believe that? Now, wait till you hear this one. This is, it says, when you repent, now there's different ways to repent in Judaism. If you repent out of fear, now you hear this? If you repent out of fear, because you got fear, intentional sin becomes unintentional sin. I mean, now, and then they have the nerve to say this. They always say sentences like this, but on a higher level of repentance, which is of love, in, check this out, intentional sin, presumptuous sin, becomes merits, some rabbis in Israel quote, sources in Judaism. Yeah. Unforgivable sins are forgiven on Yom Kippur. The day is so powerful. I've actually heard them say that. And I'm just like, now if you don't believe me that Judaism says these things, just Google it, as they say. Go to your search engine and put intentional sin becomes merits. Okay? You should see all the stuff. You'll be shocked that it's almost like, I guess you could do it. Talk about, these guys had to create purgatory. And they had to create, you know, like,
Gehenna or whatever.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Gehenna in a few minutes. Now, you might probably don't know what this means, but I'll explain it to you. This is the Mishneh Torah, the laws of repentance, okay? A teshuvah is someone, a person that, you know, turns to God, is a soul's experience of the agony of disconnection from its source and its channeling of this agony to drive it to return to God. Does that sound like anything like in the Bible? It sounds like spiritualism, doesn't it? Return to GD, excuse me, that makes it holier. It says, thus our sages have said that the sins of the Baal Shem Teshuvah, a returnee in plain English, are transformed into merits, and that he attains, check this out, the person that's a devil out of hell, it says, attains a level of relationship with GD on which even the wow. perfected righteous can't even, cannot stand.
Wow.
Is that a, I mean...
So you ought to be bad to being a better shepherd.
It sounds like you ought to be bad, right?
That encourages.
That is bad.
Yeah. Who wrote that?
Now, this stuff, I want to tell you something. This stuff you can't even make up. I mean, you have to read it out of the books. I'm reading it and I'm thinking like, seriously. So basically, if you're a weasel, you got it made.
Be a weasel for a while.
Dave Atonement, I mean, the day itself is so powerful. I mean, just a day. Check this out. Could you imagine somebody's transgressions becomes virtues? For the distance and disconnection they created have become the impetus for greater closeness and deeper connection. His sins have provoked and his teshuva has actualized a dimension of his soul's connection to GD, which a perfect righteous life never touches. Could you imagine that? So you guys, see how you guys all think that's... In the synagogues, they're all like, oh, the sages, they're so wise. See how you guys of sound mind can look at that and go,
that
doesn't make any sense. Somebody that's totally righteous on their perfectly righteous, they can't even come near some devil out of hell that his transgressions become virtues on the Day of Atonement. What's the point of everything?
Certainly
ought to
live really bad for a long time and be unrepentant. Just don't die and be. Can you imagine
The one that blows my mind, I wrote this a few times, but it always blows my mind. Thus are the sages of Judaism, the sages. I hate to say it, but I like to call them the stooges. They say that Yom Kippur, the day itself, atones. You can be out there just breaking the Sabbath today and tomorrow, and don't worry about it. The day itself will atone for you. There's even an opinion held by Rabbi Judah Hanassi that the day itself atones even for those who do not repent of their sins. So you never have to repent. So basically, this is like, you're right, this is given license to more than get out of jail free. Just go be a devil. Check this out. Every day when they say the Shema, a certain line is whispered because the angels say that on Yom Kippur the line is shouted out. And I put, and the cow jumped over the moon. These guys are in connection with all kind of spiritual things, and, you know. Here's the Talmud. Now check this one out. These rabbis, they said there's three books open in heaven in New Year. Say that one sentence, what's wrong with that? Three books, and what else? New Year. So that's not even a real sentence, but they got everyone believing it. There's three books open in heaven on New Year. One for thoroughly wicked, one for the thoroughly righteous, and one for the intermediate. Yeah, the intermediate, you know. Can you, this is actually in the Talmud, this is it. You guys like to read the Talmud, I'll read some to you. The thoroughly righteous are forthwith inscribed definitely in the Book of Life. The thoroughly wicked are forthwith inscribed definitely in the Book of Death, wherever that is. The doom of the intermediate is suspended for New Year. They're suspended from New Year till the Day of Atonement. If they deserve well, they are inscribed in the Book of Life, and if they don't do well, they're inscribed in the Book of Death.
Really?
Does that sound like... So the day doesn't atone. Not in this case.
Where are they in the middle part? Are they in limbo during that time?
They're just, I don't know where they are. They're in the middle. Right now. No, the new year right now.
What they say is right now.
Yes, what they say is right now.
10 days, you don't know.
Yeah. This guy, this rabbi, he says, what does the text... Now, listen to the way they break stuff down. If you didn't understand it, you're never going to understand this. But watch this. This is what the rabbi says. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. And this, he says, let them be blotted out of the book of... Let them be blotted out from the book. This refers to the book of the wicked. It says, of life, this is the book of the righteous. And not be written with the righteous, this is the book of the intermediate. Do you understand any of that? They're saying in that one verse, whatever that is. Yeah, we're going to read that in a minute, But do you see, like, these rabbis just make this up? This is, like, just totally flat-out cuckoo. And not be written with the righteous. This is in the book of the intermediate. This rabbi, this other guy, he derives it from here. Here's where he got it from, in case you didn't know. He says, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. He says, blot me means, I pray thee, is the book of the wicked. Out of the book, this is the book of the righteous. He's saying that one, that Moses said that. Which thou hast, now, and then the other part of the sentence where it says, which thou hast written, is the book of the intermediate. That's talking about one book.
Yeah.
They turned it into three books. They must be on drugs. They have to be smoking the opium or the... They have to be smoking the song. They got it. I mean, how could you even get that? And they think they're actually, no, you know what's really strange? They actually think they're breaking it down for you to understand. Now here's the house of Shammai. Here's what they said. There will be three groups on the day of judgment. Three groups. He says the same thing. The thoroughly righteous, the thoroughly wicked, and the intermediate. I have no idea where it says that in the Tanakh. I have no idea. The Torah. It says the thoroughly righteous with forth, it says forthwith will be inscribed definitely as entitled to everlasting life. The thoroughly wicked will forthwith be inscribed definitely as doomed to Gehenna. As it said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to reproaches and everlasting abhorrence. The intermediate, they'll just go to Gehenna for a while. Because in the Talmud says you only stay there for 12 months anyway and you get out. Tell me if that's not purgatory or something like it. Now, you might be wondering, why am I reading all this now? What is this all about? This is all the stuff flowing around on the internet right now that people actually believe with all their heart. Here is the scripture, the truth. Intermediate. I couldn't find it. I put a little laugh at the end of it. Here's actually the scripture. Jehovah said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Where do you see three books right there? Can you see three books right there?
Out of my book.
Right. Where does it say that? And even in Revelation, God says they'll take your part out of the book of life. Right? Where does it say all these three books? One for the thoroughly righteous and the thoroughly wicked and the intermediate. This is on the Day of Atonement that's coming. I mean, they already knocked out of the ball game Ha'etanim, there's no more living waters, there's no more everlasting life, there's no more first and the last, there's no more Ha'etanim, now it's Tishrei or September, there's no more seventh month, there's no reason to blow any trumpets, it's New Year, I mean that's all gone. Do you realize what I'm trying to say to you? Everything in the Bible is erased, and it's all been, it's almost like Hollywood, they got their writers together and rewrote another script. And that's what I'm trying to bring across to you. A day, but no atonement if you don't have the Messiah and his shed blood. That's what I say. Rabbinical Judaism has tried to replace the blood sacrifice with fasting. Judaism never talks about the blood that is needed on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They never even talk about that. They tell people to fast. Where does it say that in the Bible? You know, I see shadows of the Messiah that they don't see because they're blind. The blood is mentioned 12 times, which to me adds up to 3, in chapter 16, right? Which happens to be 7. Anyway, of Leviticus, okay? The word afflict is... Did you catch what I just said?
No.
The blood is mentioned 12 times in chapter 16, okay? I just... added my little numbers together. I always see a 3 and a 7 everywhere I go. See that? Anyway, forget that if that went over your head. Okay, the word afflict in Hebrew is anah. The word is anah, meaning abase, humble, or repent, and never fast in scriptures. The word tzum means fast and is never used in connection with the Day of Atonement. It's not there. I know why Judaism tells everyone to fast, now the Messianics are telling people, Messianics do it too, is because there's no blood sacrifice. They have no Messiah that died for their, you know, there's nothing. The blood of the sacrifice was to be the most important feature of the Day of Atonement. Nothing can change that. Nothing can be a substitute for the obligatory sacrifice that God gave Moses, which was a pattern, a shadow of the Messiah. Nothing can change that. Of course, you can get Hollywood to rewrite scripts. I think that's what they must be, Hollywood writers, the rabbis in disguise with beards. You think they're really from? They're probably working Hollywood, I bet, because they rewrote everything. Some points to remember: The temple is not a requirement for sacrifice. You hear people say that all the time. Neither Moses nor David had the temple. Right? They did sacrifices, and so did a lot of other people. Some people say, well, we couldn't do sacrifices. There's no temple. Where does it say that in the Word? Solomon built the first temple, remember? Since 1948, you know, our 1948 Gregorian calendar, there's an Israel again. They can't tell anybody they're in the captivity anymore, right? The blood is still required. Without the blood of Messiah, you're lost. If one of the requirements was to fast on the Day of Atonement, why simply did not Jehovah tell us? Seriously. I mean, why didn't Moses say, okay, before we do the blood sacrifice, I'll make sure everybody's fasting today. Where does it say that in the Word? I mean, anyway. So anyway, now that we went through the memorial of blowing the trumpets, which they turned into New Year, and all the rest of the garbage, and we went through the Day of Atonement, which we know what it is with the Messiah and his shed blood and the two calves and the whole story we're going to go over. Two goats. They turned it into, doesn't it all confuse you? The baloney, the day atones for itself. Forget about those two goats. You know, forget about the Torah. That's what they're like. Forget that. Let's make up our own story. And they say, right, the Azazel is the devil, which is cuckoo. Anyway, don't get me started. This is unbelievable. Now, the next thing, if you go on the net, you're going to see all these pictures of these rabbis with their, you know, because the Feast of Tabernacles is going to come, right? And they don't know what that means. They just think you go jump, you build a booth and hang out in it with some fruit, you know. But they have no meaning to it. You got, I know. That's what I think they think it is. I mean, look at this. Tell me if this is so unscriptural. I mean, besides all the made up unscriptural stories about the fruit, here's what they actually say: prayers reciting over their lulav and eat is etrog. Where does it say any of that in the Bible? They pray over their. Seriously, they don't even know why they're building a boot. Now, but wait till you hear this. If you think that's, I didn't even get into. If you go on the net, they have things about who's got the biggest lulav, and they spend money on it. I mean, the citron. I don't know. Lulav, citron, it's all the same to me. It's all a bunch of hogwash. But they're all doing it with all their might. You should see on Israel. I mean, seriously. And they're spending a lot of dough on it, too. Now, here's the Usfarsin, right? Now, this might shock you. Check this out. This is on the Feast of Tabernacles. During the holiday, they call it a holiday, some Jews recite the Usfarsin prayer, which symbolizes the welcoming of seven exalted guests into their sukkah. Could you imagine that? These Usfarsin, which is Aramaic, it's Ufisin, guests, represent the seven shepherds of Israel. So on the Your Feast of Tabernacles, don't be surprised if Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, Joseph, or David come into the sukkah and visit you. That would be scary, wouldn't it?
I would leave.
According to tradition, Jewish tradition, each night a different guest enters the sukkah followed by other six. You know who they are? Each of the Usfarsins have a unique lesson which teaches the parallels of spiritual focus of the day on which they visit. A new tradition has arisen from some Jews to invite seven female. They just made this one up. They might, you know, if the other guys are coming, you might as well. It says these guys just made up a new tradition. Let's invite seven female counterparts to the above shepherds. So a number of different lists exist, which may include many of the following. They have all different lists because they just make it up. Some people want Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, Miriam, Deborah, Esther, Ruth, and Tamar, among others. They only do this because they have no idea why they're building a sukkah. They build a booth. They got some fruit, and now they want some guests. Some of them have big parties in there. They have big parties in their sukkahs. Anyway, so as you could see, this is a short study, but if you go over it in detail, it's totally unscriptural. So they just knocked out of the ball game, the Zichron Yom Teruah, the memorial of blowing the trumpets, what that means, and how it connects to the Messiah. They knocked out, you better be atoned on the Day of Atonement if you want to make it to be with God when you tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. They don't say nothing, none of that stuff. They just talk about, we're going to build a sukkah and get the lulav and the citron. Who's got the biggest one? And they got to make sure they put all the stuff up right. Then they got a whole big song and dance of how to build a sukkah. You know, it's this height, that height, this wide, this long, this, and each group has a different way of doing it. No, I mean, if you want to fall into a world of, like, oblivion, join Judaism today. People that join Judaism, they have no idea what they're getting into. They think it's just a bunch of, you know, holiness. It's the most confusing thing in the world. They can't figure out anything because the two different schools of thought always argue. And that's why there's a million different beliefs. And then you could see how it's tied in with spiritualism too, right? You could see how there's a lot of mystical things going on there. I mean, I couldn't imagine some spirit jumping in my room going, "Hi, I'm Abraham." I hope not. Yeah. We're building a sukkah. I mean, I hope you guys all know why we're doing the Zichron Yom Teruah. We believe one day in someone's lifetime, the trumpet is going to sound. And then after that, you have a few days to make sure that you're totally scrutinized yourself and examined your soul, making sure that you're perfectly ready to meet God on the Day of Atonement. And if you are, you will tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. In someone's lifetime, that's what we believe. We don't have all these stories and all these things that are made up. And it's focused on fruit, focused on how the construction of the booth, focused on fairy tales, focused on things that one guy don't like. You know what they do? One guy makes up a story, so the next rabbi has to top it, so he has to add something else to it or change it with a different twist to it. Huh? And it sounds just like Christianity, and it sounds just like... Yes, without the Messiah, you really don't know what you're doing. And without the Messiah, and without the real God of Israel, sure, you could do this on any day. Pick the new moons any day. Oh, they saw it in Arizona or Oklahoma. Let's do the new moon tomorrow. Or Arkansas. I mean, I don't know. I thought taking the simple route, when I got to let you guys know, whatever it was, 11, 12 years ago when I started this, I actually thought, I told my wife, I said, why don't we just take the simple route? We won't, obviously, we'll tell people to read the Bible, and that's all we'll believe. We don't need any extra, you know, books or DVDs or CDs or... That's the hardest thing I ever did in my life. Seriously. It's been the hardest thing in my whole life so far to get people just to read the Bible, because nowadays, as you guys know, there's many versions of the Bible. In conclusion, this study was meant to clear up silly distractions and made-up stories that are... The main thing you should tell people, they're unscriptural. You know? I hope this leads you to read Scripture itself. That's what I hope. I'm just letting you know that, like, some people might go, well, that was a crazy study. Well, believe it or not, there's masses of people doing all those things that I just mentioned. They're sincerely wrong. There's people out there that are sincerely wrong. And then there's other people that are just flat out too lazy to go look stuff up themselves. I meet people, I gave a guy the other day the website to go look things up in the Scriptures. He goes, man, thanks a lot. Well, he couldn't do that himself? Go find a little thing on the internet, Bible search. I mean, all you got to do is get on Google and put Bible search. Wow, that's really hard. But, I mean, you have to care for your soul, right? You have to want to get it straight. And then you see the spiritual element enter the picture. Because it's not intellect, it's spiritual. Satan sends delusions of whatever at you, at people, and you're thinking like, well, how could that be? How could they not understand this? They're in a spiritual delusion. Well, some people, they think they're substituting intellect for the spirituality of the scriptures. When I remember God picked shepherds. He picked the apostles, fishermen. He didn't pick the so-called scholars at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? He picked harlots. He picked, God picked people that he, you know, God, I was reading this morning in Ezekiel, God says that if I would have went to the heathen, if I send you Ezekiel to the heathen, they would actually listen to you. He goes, but I'm sending you to the house of Israel, that you could even speak their language, and they're not going to listen to you. And that's a sad thing. I'm not rejoicing in that, but that's the end of my study for today. I hope you got something out of it. And even if you don't remember any of this stuff, it's on my website. But just to know that when you talk to people on Facebook or this book or whatever program you're at, most of it comes from the Talmud. Most of it comes from made-up Judaism. Most of it comes just from spiritualism or mysticism. The Kabbalah comes from the Tanya, the Zohar, all these books that have nothing to do with the Tanakh. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God. I thank you for the remnant, the few people that we do see clearly, Lord and God. And I thank you, Lord and God, for your word. Bless the rest of the Sabbath and the coming of the seventh month tonight, which is the Zichron Yom Teruah, a memorial of blowing trumpets. That in someone's lifetime, we know, Father, the trumpet will sound, the seventh trumpet, the seventh angel will sound, and the mystery of God will be fulfilled, as you sent and signified by your servants. Heavenly Father, we try to profess these things, and we hope some people do get it, Lord and God. Keep us away from any fallacies or false doctrine or heresies. This demon of unbelief is very strong. The demon of unbelief. Heavenly Father, I praise and thank your name that you protect us, put a wall of fire around and about our minds, our hearts, and our souls, besides our bodies, in Yeshua's name. And I thank you for another Shabbat, in Yeshua's name. Bless everyone here. Help us in every endeavor in our life, in everything that we need. Lord and God, I thank you for everything. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and may God bless you. And I'm going to stop the video.